evening, and welcome to the joint meeting of the Carson City Open Space Advisory Commission and the Parks and Recreation Committee. Madam Chair, Madam Secretary, rather, would you please call chair? Roll. Gosh, I'm doing really good tonight.
That's all right.
Okay, for Open Space, Chairperson Scott, Vice Chair Welch, Member Evans, Member Hall, Member Inverson, Member Massad, Member Michael. A quorum is present. For Parks and Rec, Chairperson Kiefer,
here.
Vice Chair Glam, Commissioner Bagwell,
here.
Commissioner Casiopo,
here.
Commissioner Curtis,
here.
Commissioner Lehman,
here.
Commissioner Long. A quorum is present.
Madam Secretary, our Vice Chair is Donna Curtis. Commissioner Glenn has stepped down to just being a commissioner. And the record will also reflect that Bruce Scott and Margie Evans are excused with their absences. And then I think you want to read a letter into the record?
Why don't we do that when we come to this item?
Okay. All right. So we've called order. We've determined we have a quorum. I'll open this up to public comments. Anybody who wishes to address either committee, please step on up. Okay. Come on down, CK.
For the record, CK Bailey, Carson City. Oh, it's so nice to be back among friends, and I would say just about family. What I wanted to bring up today rather quickly was I understand that Bailey Fishing Pond may be reopened temporarily. I don't believe that is in the agenda, so I'm bringing that up. If I'm mistaken, please tell me and I will get out of it. Seeing none. Okay. Bailey Fishing Pond has received some very significant damage due to flooding, and I know it's not the only park.
Or is it?
No, it's not. There's a lot of parks, as you well know, that have received significant damage from the water. It's supposed to be 75 degrees coming up in the next few days, possibly rainstorms. So I want to thank the commission, and I want to thank Parks and Rec for their great diligence in trying to get the pond back open. The pond does have some damage to it, sedimentation, other things, but it's the road to it that has really gotten pounded and is kind of scary. So consequently, as far as I know, there may not be a kids' fishing day this year. If it does occur, it might be down the road. That's up to April and the Lions Club to deal with. But as of this moment, it's not going to happen the first Saturday of May. Thank you for tending to the pond. I would suggest that if there is a stocking, that Parks and Rec and Nevada Department of Wildlife come together. It's beyond my pay grade. I really appreciate being kept in the loop and all, but any stalking that does go on is between those authorities and not myself. Is there any question? Seeing none, once again,
oh,
I want...
I'm sorry.
Oh. No, that's it?
No.
We're good.
But I
see, they were just jumping at it.
Yeah. Well, I did have a request. Yes, I do.
Well, come on down.
All right. Dan Earp, who is a recreation specialist with the Parks and Rec Department, expressed to me an interest in helping out with the fishing day and maybe coordinating on the Parks Department. So if and when we have a fishing day this year, maybe somebody could reach out and include him in the loop.
Okay, what is his capacity? Who is he? He's a citizen. What does he do?
He works for Jennifer.
Oh, okay.
He's the recreation superintendent.
Rec superintendent. See how bad I am. Rec superintendent. Is there a, well, I can find that out. His name is Dan Ford?
Earp.
Earp.
No relation to Wyatt, he tells me.
Earp. Wild Earp. Okay. ERP. Very good. All right. Done. I will definitely put him in the loop. I'll go out and find out what his number is, email, et cetera. So if there is something, I'd love to have him. Good volunteers, shoot, bring them on. So maybe we can get Jen out there too. Thank you very much.
Comments?
Okay. Thank you, CK.
Thank you so much.
Any other public comments? All right. Hearing none, we're going to move on to possible action of approval of minutes. Now, clarify something. Is it parks minutes or is it open space minutes or is it both?
There's no minutes in the packet.
There are no minutes.
There's no minutes in the packet.
So then we're just going to roll on to item number two, modifications to the agenda. Does anybody wish to modify the agenda up here? All right. I guess not. All right. So we're going to move on to meeting item number three, and Commissioner Lehman would like to introduce this item.
Okay. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I've been on the commission, I think, for 9 years, and been the chair for a few, and it's been my pleasure to have Eagle Scout candidates come up for many years. When I started 9 years ago, I believe he was 4, and the other one was 2. So now I get to introduce my own son, Eagle Project, Parker Lehman. I've been working with him on this and also with the Open Space Committee some. So come on up, Parker, and let us know.
All right, so I have prepared a presentation about my Eagle Project and about what we'll be doing. So to start off, my name is Parker Lehman, and I'm looking for approval of my Eagle Project. My plan for the project is to fix the sea on the hill, and then repaint it, and this will help create a better-looking community for everyone to enjoy. These are some pictures that I went up and took recently, and this is how some of the problems that we're seeing. There's a lot of brush, the paint is starting to fade, and the rocks are sliding down. So we're going to have to remove a lot of things and then repaint the rocks and put them back. So what we're going to do is the scout troop is going to weed and move rocks back into place, and then we also need to remove the vegetation and bigger brush with tools. And then I will come back with an air compressor and use donated paint by NDOT to paint the sea. And what I'll need is a half-inch shovel and gloves, but we need to borrow some things like shovels, rakes, and more tools. And then we will also need a lot of working gloves for the scouts. And transportation, the way we're getting to the sea is behind Greenhouse Garden Center, and the top of this road is a quarter mile from the sea. The date I have scheduled is June 10th. And the best possible date, this is the best possible date in June because of all their holidays and scheduled events on other Saturdays during the month of June. For safety, after we reach the top, I'm going to talk to my troop about safety and using the equipment correctly and how to walk to it with it, how to walk to the sea with the equipment so that no one will get hurt and we can do the right thing. The people involved and helping me were John Costello and Ann Bullinger, and thank you for helping me with this, and also thank you to Open Space and Parks for Education. And is there any questions about my Eagle Project?
Does anybody have any questions?
Yes. Is there any chance that your project includes removing that horrible wall of old cement bags that has turned to rock and all the old irrigation piping that went up there when they did the flag?
I mean, we can see if we can do some of that. Most of it would probably be focused on the sea, but we could probably take out a lot of that in the process. That probably wouldn't be too much of a problem.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
So, good evening. First, I want to just say thank you so much for presenting this project. We really appreciate learning and seeing what our young people in Carson City feel about helping keep it wonderful. So.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Can you tell me when you expect to start the project?
The actual work will begin in June 10th, like I said, and then that's when we'll be doing it. And then in the following weeks, I'll come back and paint it. But then I'm doing some paperwork and stuff now. But the actual when we'll be doing it is June 10th.
And do you have enough volunteers to help you get the project done?
Yes,
or are you looking for some more?
I think I'll have enough.
Give it up. Okay.
We could use
I know a group that has previously worked on the sea and keeping it painted and things, and I'm sure they'd be more than happy to join forces or stuff. So if you'd like more help, I'll pass on the information.
Right. I'll see if we need more.
Okay, great. Thank you so much again.
Commissioner Cassiopa, did you have a question or a comment?
Commissioner Bagwell stole my thunder, but that's okay. That was my question, but I was just thinking of something else, but it slipped my mind. Oh, as far as the amount of time you expect this to take, I know you're coming back to finish it, but...
I think it'll probably take around, we're going to start around 10 in the morning, and then we should be done midday, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock probably, with everything, and everyone will be back. Then the painting will probably take 1 to 3 hours.
Commissioner Lehman?
So, yeah, I can give a little bit more background. We go up there running and hiking, and it's definitely fallen apart quite a bit, and it's been an idea that we've both had for a while. NDOT and 3M did donate the paint to paint that, so we're hoping it's reflective paint, so it'll light up real good, but we'll see. The other question we had when we were talking to Open Space was the road due to all the flooding and rain, and we did go up there and scope it out with the Chevy Tahoe and made it just fine, and there was an F-150 that was going up and down there too, so it is doable. But yeah, our car's not going to make it, so that's where we're going to have some volunteers and people with bigger trucks. And other people did ask about those cement bags that had sat up there forever, so if we have room in some of these trucks, it's at least an option to try to throw some of that in there. I'm not sure where it would go. I guess it would go to the landfill.
Commissioner Curtis?
Yes, first of all, I just want to thank your whole family. I mean, I keep reading about you guys in the paper. You're great athletes, too. And, you know, your father has been very helpful. He's given some really great gifts to the city. And you're just a great example for all of us. So I want to thank you very much for what you're doing. And I'm sure you'll get all the help that you need.
All right, thank you.
Parker, I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you have an email address or a phone number so that the members of the audience, both here and at home, might be able to contact you with donations?
Yes, I can give an email address.
Why don't you share that
with us? It'd be lehmannrunner@gmail.com.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Anybody else have any questions or comments? Commissioner Long.
Parker, I apologize. I'm late getting here from work. So I know what you're doing, and I appreciate it. And I'm sorry I wasn't here for the presentation. And then I like the idea of cement bags. I'm all for it. I don't know if we'll be in town when you paint, but I'm definitely want to be in town to remove those concrete. And so and that's something we could talk about maybe another time. But I always wondered whether we could borrow a city vehicle or something. It would be maybe lend itself to, what is it? Probably 30 or 40 pounds of concrete. Or, no, oh, 40 bags of concrete, not pounds. So
you're in the thousands.
thousands of pounds. So just like the SUV won't get it done.
Yeah, we can coordinate with the park ranger and some other park staff and get, you know, some trucks that can get up there, and with volunteer help, that would be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a requirement or a, what do you need? I mean, I know people just drive all over those roads, but ideally, we want to probably minimize the amount of vehicles going up there.
You do want to minimize vehicles. You also want to stay on existing roads. Don't create any new roads while they're up there. We don't want any additional resource damage. In June, I am a little worried about the timing. With the snow melt, we're going to get a lot, and primarily in May and June. So I would just keep an eye on that for heading up there. Maybe go up the week prior just to make sure all the roads are still passable. And we can work with our park ranger to kind of help you monitor that.
So going to that, we did go up a couple weeks ago, and the snow in that little drainage is gone.
It's okay now. Okay.
And then there's the community cleanup trailer that was going to be available also. So we're going to have a staging area kind of by the Greenhouse Garden Center and just send up the trucks that will make it. So, yeah, if there's a park ranger that can be involved, happy day.
We'll volunteer him right now. He's not here. So. But he's more than happy to help with that.
Thank you so much, Parker. We appreciate it. Are there any comments from members of the public on this project?
Parker, you should put that on your resume. Inside joke, I was one of the interviewers, and I interviewed him for the 8th grade mock interviews. And by the way, you did really well.
Do you want to take the next item? All right, we're moving on to item 3B for possible action. A presentation by the Eagle Valley Trail Committee on the Draft Community Trail Inventory Review, Evaluation, and User Needs Assessment Report. What a mouthful. Review, discussion, and possible recommendation to staff regarding the report, which may include proposed amendments to Carson City's Unified Pathways Master Plan to expand the city's trail system. This will be presented by Vern, Ann Bollinger, who's not here, and Jennifer Butch, but I believe that Commissioner Welch has a letter that he'd like to read into the record.
Margie Evans is unable to attend this evening, but she did send a letter to Vern that she would like to have read into the record. It reads, I would like to commend the Eagle Valley Trails Committee on developing such a comprehensive and useful document. Thank you for all your dedicated effort. To the Parks and Open Space Committee Commission members, please let us all keep in mind that our parks, rec, and open staff are few and our needs are many. I propose that staff keep these recommendations in mind and use the document as they work on the various properties. But please, let's not task staff with another project that will require them to drop everything and leave an earlier task undone. We have the most terrific Parks Department. It is not fair to them to allow them to not allow them to do their jobs in the best way that they see it should be done. Signed, Margie G. Evans.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And with that, I'll ask Jennifer and Vern to take over.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jennifer Budge, Parks and Recreation Director. Just to kick this off, I first wanted to thank all the members of the Eagle Valley Trails Committee. This is a really comprehensive report. This is a grassroots effort at its best, and I just wanted to applaud them for the effort, for reaching out to us, having us part of this conversation, and really working as a community on trail planning for this region. The Unified Pathways Master Plan is a fantastic plan, but it is getting old, and this plan takes off for where that has left off, and it talks about, you know, sustainable trail systems, really good comprehensive design, but also envisioning connectivity to our regional partners and kind of that broader picture that the Unified Pathways Master Plan doesn't really have. So we're really excited about this, and we're happy to have them here. And I just wanted to introduce Mark Kimbrough and Jeff Potter, who are going to be doing the presentation, and just to thank them again for all their efforts and picking up this effort where we don't have the staff or financial resources to do a comprehensive plan like this, but they've taken upon themselves to really make it happen. So I appreciate their effort.
Thank you, Jennifer. For the record, my name is Jeff Potter. I'm a member on the Board of Supervisors. Okay. I start this off with a laugh. Okay. guess which one I am. Board of Directors for Muscle Powered, and I'm also on the Eagle Valley Trail Committee. First, I know you all are very busy, so I'm really happy that you gave us the opportunity to present this report to you. And I'd also like to thank Jennifer and Vern and Ann Bollinger for supporting us on this. But before we get going, there's three people that, without them, this wouldn't have happened, their expertise and their dedication, and that would be Mark Kimbrough sitting next to me, Lynn Zong behind me, and one of your former committee members, Toby Wellborn, who created the database and the mapping and did a tremendous amount of work on this, so I'd like to thank them. And also the community that of trail users that offered their input for this. We couldn't have done it without them. So how we're going to do this is a joint presentation, and Mark's going to kick it off and tell you how we got to where we are, and then I'll jump in and fumble.
For the record, I'm Mark Kimbrough, and I was the support person for this project and have a long history in trails and recreation in here in Washoe County, actually, in Lake Tahoe. So the goal for slideshows and PowerPoints are 20 minutes. We've spent 2 years on this project, so I'm going to try to steal a little bit more time from you tonight, knowing it's a joint meeting. And I really thank Jen for helping us and supporting us. There was a change of command when we were doing this project, and Jen came as a really strong supporter with us. So we're here tonight with her support entirely to move this forward, so we're excited about that. So I'm hoping that if I see a head hit the table or something, I'll know we went over on time a little bit. Go ahead.
I one of the commissioners had a question. Would you mind if we interrupted from time to time with questions, or do you want to do your presentation straight through?
Jeff and I talked about that. I don't mind being interrupted. That's the wrong term. Ask questions, but I'm trying to get it done in a timely fashion, so at the end it would be easier. Then you can judge how many questions you want to ask me. You know, that's kind of a good way. Sometimes that helps, because if I run a little long, people say, I don't want to ask him anymore. So hopefully we're comprehensive enough, and hopefully we're going to dazzle you enough to keep you excited about this. Trails are actually really complex things on the planet. It's just a little 24-inch wide little dirt trail out there. But when I was with the Tahoe Rim Trail, we had one piece took us 9 years from discussion to construction. And many of those segments up there, it was built in little pieces, were 5 or 6 years. So it's a really complicated, complex problem, because you're crossing property lines and jurisdictional and NIMBYs and all these things come to play. So writing a plan was pretty important for this community, because the UPMP, I said it right, didn't deal with these rural trails that took off from the city there. So, and you think about it, if you watch planning communities, if people are asked what they want, trails are always in the top three. I'm not talking about law enforcement or water or sewer. I'm talking about those features people like around their houses and trails. A lot of times, number one in some communities, people want trails. It's health and all these reasons that trails come into play nowadays. So that's why we tried to be as comprehensive as we could to kind of explain, and that's why this process tonight, I'd like to explain some of the complex issues you come through. So next slide. Oh, did you enjoy the sustainable trail, I guess, on the first slide there? That was that's our theme, and that's from Jeff. So this year is a really good test on trails, because if they weren't sustainable, this year they're a creek, because you've never had as much water. So this was a good year to test the trails for Carson City. The next slide now. So one of the things we've got to do is acknowledge all this help and support from the community. This is not a one-man show by any means. And so we were out with agencies, nonprofits, businesses, and community members asking for money, time, expertise, and support. Some people gave one. Some people gave two of those things. Many of them gave all four. And there's a summary there in your report on page 80, and or on the summary there's up front there, giving some of the acknowledgments, because I don't want to miss out sharing the credit for this report. And the next slide has a whole bunch of names. I broke a rule, too many words on one page, but these are acknowledgments for the top ones are all the nonprofits, and we might have missed one or two. I hope not. There's in the middle sections, it's the businesses, which Noman, Warshall, Zephyr Consulting, RCI, and Tangerine Design all participated in helping this project along. And then in the government, Carson City's Visitors Bureau and Carson Parks and Rec were the big players for us. So let's just acknowledge them real quick, and I'll move on that, because I'm going to load you up with a bunch more stuff here. Now, these are all the people that I could remember to give credit for this report. And if there's any of them in the audience behind me, could they raise their hand? And the two people on the board, could they raise their hands? These are the folks. I don't know how many are behind me, but we were really pleased to have this many people. And we're not talking just a few hours. Some gave hundreds. The ones that ran or walked the trails, or the ones who helped with the report, the ones who did GPS, the one, well, Toby Welborn, we worked him so hard he left town. The poor guy. So, and one of the terrible things we didn't do very well is recording the hours of time on volunteers. We didn't have that structure to really make people want to tell us how many hours they worked. They said, it's no big deal, I helped you, so we don't need to track more time. So we can move on now to another complicated. I was trying to give a framework. With the Rim Trail, I had a three-legged stool. You had the land managers, you had the money part, and you had the trail users. If you dropped any one of those, a stool fell over. But in this framework, there's just too many things to juggle to deal with trails. Land manager is a huge one that actually drove this project, which I'll speak to later. the trail users are the most, one of the more important, because they're the folks that are telling us what you need or want, are the ones that are out using it, and that's where you get the metrics to justify any need in this community for trails. The nonprofits that are already in place, like Muscle Powered, we're already doing work with trails, but there's other nonprofits that have trails, the Silver Saddle Ranch, the equestrian groups. We're all part of this. So I tried to just show all of it, but Sustainable Trails is in the center, and we drew expertise from all of those different areas. Next slide. Jeff gets mad at me, insisted I took this off the screen. Me and Lynn and Jeff had a meeting. He is very humble. And this is absolute truth. If Jeff wasn't in this project, none of us would be in this project. He doesn't understand the importance of the people in the community that drive these projects as much as Jeff does. And with the awards he's received and the accolades he's received. So it's really critical to have somebody like a Jeff. He's not only the visionary guy that thought of what we move for here, he's also the implementer. So he walks the talk. I'm in the Rim Trail, the guy that had the vision of the Rim Trail left before we started and came back when we were done. Never spent a day on the trail. So the visionaries a lot of times aren't that person. He's both. And he brought Muscle Powered there. So, and he's brought grants and all this work. So I'm giving him credit where he liked it or not. We insisted that would happen tonight. So go ahead and change the slides. So this recruitment that we went through to start generating this group, this grassroots movement, we had some nonprofits. I'm actually involved with the Sierra Front Recreation Coalition, which is a group. Used to be the head of agencies from the Sierra Front here talking about the need for recreation support in the Sierra Front because there's never enough money in recreation, as Jen could attest to. We also had friends of Silver Saddle Ranch. We got horse folks. One of the other parties we pulled in and worked as hard as we could is the OHV group, which I don't have up there. And we had a kind of a mantra with the OHV groups. We didn't want them to come in at the end of this and say, we're not happy with your plans. So we tried to bring them in the front. But our mantra was this. We would We would not propose any closures of any trails that OHVs are using. So there was never any mapping or anything done that we actually eliminated or asked them to be eliminated. So there seemed to be some support, and they participated. And then there's businesses. My business, the Rochelle Zephyr and RCI, gave a lot of time with Lynn and supporting her for this project, too, and giving us office meeting space and much more than that. And then the number one agency that came in with, if I could give an award for an agency that came in to get a crown, Joel's shop at the Visitors Authority is huge for us, and I'll Bureau. Show you more about that. The what?
Bureau.
I mistitled you. I didn't bring your business credit. So one of the important parts is once you recruit these folks is you establish these meetings with agendas. You bring them in and make their work valued and so that we really pulled people in and took their expertise as the best we could. The next steps. There was first informal discussions. They're just talking about what was going on. One of the things that started bringing informal discussions was, and the second one is a trail consultant who was me was, hired at the beginning because there's all these trails up Ash Canyon and there was this move and want and need to map trails in this community. And Joel had wanted a map to bring people into this community to ride mountain bikes. So I went out and surveyed the trails and you'll see later what happened when I surveyed the trails, but it was there a lot of private property trails, which were not public and they were bootleg trails. They weren't system trails, which mean the agency that they land that they're on didn't know they were there or turned a blind eye to it. So it brought up the whole idea that if you're going to start working on these trails and doing a map, you really need to do a plan, which I'll speak to later, to incorporate all of these ideas that we're talking about bringing trails on a map, who owns what property, construction. One of the great things about those bootleg trails when I surveyed them is that whoever built them was a really good trail builder. They weren't just scratched in with a McLeod. They were done meeting standards, trail standards. And I'm sure they've weathered really well in these months of rain up there because they're so well. Next slide. So one of the things that I did as a consultant was to start formalizing this group. So if you're going to make a stand for the community, you better be somewhat formal in the way you present yourself to any of boards like this board or anybody else in the community. That it isn't just a group of people that gathered at, what's a good bar? I thought you know all the good bars. Snack Shack?
Tap Shack.
Tap Shack, okay.
Snack Shack just says
Snack Shack. So we became much better then. So one of the things I wanted to drive with them, which I did with other trail organizations I've been involved with or the other recreational groups, is to do the mission and vision, which is some like time like pulling teeth. Some people do not agree that doing missions and visions. Why are we doing this? Why does all this work? So I brought good examples so that we didn't have to spend hours fighting over one or two words in the vision or mission. And it really helps establish common ground for everybody that was in the group as we were growing it to know what we were trying to do. It's really important that when you come to a group like this, our mission, which you guys have in that new material and your vision, I'm not going to read them for you, set what's happening with this group and who we really represent and what we really want to do, and staying very transparent about that. So we talked about when we set up that, we started to formalize, we started feeling better about where we're moving. We set up agendized meetings and started moving. And one of the other great things that Joel helped us with is he hooked us with Tara Burke, who gave us a brand, and we got the name after some discussion. That went pretty simple, actually, too. So Tara Burke came up with the brand for us, which sometimes, if you know that, the Rimtrail paid several thousand dollars for their brand sometimes. This was thanks to Joel's shop and helping us move that along. Plus, the collateral I'll talk to here in a few minutes, which is the next page. So she helped us through Joel put this together. And you know, if those of you are on this committee when we first came here asking for permission to move forward, this is what we handed out. And I thought, how much more formal could you be than having something as nice as this collateral, plus a website that Shannon helped us with Tangerine Design, who actually ran some of the trails and GPSed them too. So we moved forward with a website, and we got a, what kind of address is that? The CarsonCityTrails.org that support us on this, and the Sierra Front Recreation Coalition, which I have a touch to, help pay for a lot of the websites and some of the costs, which were minimal. So the city, other than I made an agreement with the city when I worked with them as a consultant that most of my hours are volunteer and just a few a month would be asked for. So the next steps was when we came back to you guys in the city committees and asked for permission to move forward, when we had total support for us to move forward, because you guys all probably felt comfortable with the mission and the vision and the group and Jeff Potter, that we were taking a nice lead on a project that would really benefit the public. So we moved forward with your guys' permission, and the next step was to go to the land management agencies. One of the things you have to do before you come in front of them is kind of have your act together, because you're coming in. One of the things I was challenged with was Jenny Wilson, that used to run the Carson Ranger District here in Carson City, said, I want you to do something for me, because she knows I'm really heavily involved with trails. So have all these groups get together and come to me with one plan instead of every group coming to me six times a year telling them they want this or that or they want this or that. So she was the one who drove this other group that's been formed that's primarily meets in Reno, but there's a whole coalition of trail groups from all the way to Gray Eagle area, the Buttes, all the way to Mammoth, meets once a year, talks about trails. And but that was kind of drove what we needed to do with the land management agency, to show them we're going to develop a plan in this area and work with this other group as we develop it. So that kind of drove that. The Forest Service had a change of command, and change of commands can goof up your plans really quick, so you have to learn to hurry up. If you have one that supports you, get the letter from the one that you just had, because change of command can drop your priorities. The Rim Trail had a roller coaster ride sometimes with different management styles as new leadership came into the forest up there. So both of those became important. Then BLM actually was doing the recreational management plan, and they were excited to see us come in the door because they could use this as part of their management plan for trails, which they hadn't developed yet. So they were excited. One of the in the state, the Western Nevada College had just a little tiny piece up above there that we wanted to keep them in the loop. State Parks, actually, Jeff's been working parallel with this project to build a trail up to the state park. Up at Tahoe from his trail system that he has down below, which show. Are you going to speak that later?
City's trail system.
City's trail. And we're working with them to do it.
Yeah. So the biggest coup for this group was, one of the biggest coups, was the Nevada Division of State Lands became supportive of the project. In the past, there hadn't been any support on state lands for their properties because of the deed restrictions there are on them. And Charlie Donahue, I don't know if he's here tonight behind me or not, but he's the one who said yes, and he said yes that he'll support this plan. And I saw him the other day, and he says he's got a few comments. So, and BLM made a few comments, too. And Arthur apologized. Callan, who's been working with us on that, he sent me an email. He couldn't make it tonight, or his boss is out of town. So so that explains those. And then the next slide is the one that can be a landmine, as I put there. I had some experience up at Incline. I don't know if I shared that with you that know me, but we had NIMBY problems that just kind of blew up in my face with a person at the post office having petitions signed that we were bringing busloads of people into Incline's private community, which was never any part of the proposal. So you have to tread really lightly on that. In Douglas County, if you remember, there was a gentleman that when they did their master plan on trails, he drew a trail right down the Carson River, right through all these private properties, without asking them first. So that first meeting didn't take much long after that. That planner was no longer working for Douglas County. So, and when I was on the Carson River Master Plan Committee, there was discussions about use on the river, and it really gets private landowners excited, and we understand that one of our highest priorities and goals is to respect private property at all costs and not even deal with anybody concerned. We just put our hands up and walk away. But we did send each private landowner a letter that kind of, that's an overview of their letter, saying hi, who we are, what we're doing, and that were a picture of where their parcel was, and I sent them a copy of the NRS that protects them if they allow people to walk on it, and also put a form in there for them to opt out. So before the workshops, they had a chance to opt out so we wouldn't have their trail on our map on private property, showing it. So what, showing it as accessible by the public. So what we did is show them as private, which means they're not trails you could use, which was only one big owner, which is the Ham property that you guys, the open space had talked about, which is real key to a bunch of the trails up there. He actually wanted to have us work with him, but we're not a very rich group to deal with land management right now. So I'm going to close and let Jeff take on some of the process now. How am I doing with time?
Well, I wanted to speak tonight, but I think Mark just ate up all my time.
Thanks. I talked really fast.
thank you, Mark. I'll try and be a little concise with this and then answer questions at the end if you have any. So what we did when we get to the trail mapping is that we used some of the data we already had as trail users, but we also reached out to Tahoe Mountain Milers and some other hiking groups that have already had that data in their GPS. So we collected that, mapped it, and what that allowed us to do was once we put it on the map and got the overlay for ownership, whether land management agencies or private, we were able to say who owned what. And I should point. I got to remember this stuff. And from that process, the table that you can see is we found in Eagle Valley, we have 112 miles of double track and single track. And 45 miles of that is single track with about 35% of that being on private property. So these are things that we didn't know until this process happened, that's where the land, you can see me turn a page, and that's how you're MQing it. Thank you. So what we're using as a project area was the Tahoe Rim Trail to the west, Washoe State Park and McCollum Peak area to the north, Douglas County line to the south, and to the east, there's a power line that's just east of Deer Run Road. And so, and all of our the report deals with that area and the specific trail systems that are in those areas, whether it's Ash Canyon, Sea Hill, Kings Canyon, Prison Hill, and Centennial Park. And just to give you an idea, I hope this is a, I know this isn't the greatest, but we did a close-up of the Ash Canyon area, and the unauthorized photo on the left is the photo of the trails that are on the ground now. The unauthorized photo is if we pulled off all the unauthorized trails and had just authorized, and all that leaves us with is Ash King's Trail. Trailhead?
Oh.
Back to Mark.
He just brought me here. I'm just going to interrupt his speech because I did this mapping and reviewed each trailhead so that we'd have some comfort about where the trailheads were in relation to the trails that we were going to present in the plan. And access points, which there are tons of access points that we don't even know if they're on private property or not. Some just go between houses that have been done that way for years. But they become really important when it comes to planning your trail system appropriately, is these access points. You don't want them to get cut off, you hope, if it's a major access. Or if you've got so many people using that one access, do you need a trailhead there with a restroom? Do you need parking? Do you need something that supports the community? Because you know, if it's just an access point and there's no parking, people will illegally park in front of people's homes and things. So that's just an issue to be thought of as we develop the plan and looking what facilities are out there, what might be needed, and then, again, it would be put in the recommendations in a structure of priorities as we worked with the agencies. You're on.
So we move on to our workshops and online surveys, and what we're doing is what we call pre-scoping, get the public's input now during the process rather than after the process and asking them to give their input. And what we did is first we created an online survey through SurveyMonkey, and we took it to agencies for their approval first to make sure they we weren't stepping out a line. And then we got the message out there to our user groups through our member partnership, member partners, and also through the Nevada Appeal and Carson Now. And with that, through that online survey, we had 197 participants. And through that, we got to find out who's using our trails, the age groups that are using our trails, type of users, the distance they travel to get to our trails, the reasons for use, the their perceived conditions of the trails, and satisfaction of the trails. So there's a lot more than that, but if you'd like full survey results, you can find them on carsoncitytrails.org. But what we did find from that was, you know, bottom line, the community wants regional trail connections, increased trail networks and connectivity, improved trailheads, improved trail information, including signs and maps, and improved maintenance. I didn't want to say that part because it's kind of we're in charge of that. If they wanted improved maintenance, it sounds like we're sloughing off on that. But we also then had three public workshops. Actually, two were specifically for the public, but one was for our stakeholders. And we brought the maps in and let everybody have a look at the maps, see what the trails were, see what land it was on. And the primary objective was not just to get their feedback, but to also educate them to see that the trails that they're using really aren't authorized. And we need to bring those trails into the system and or do something to get authorized access. And then we can sign them, put your our favorite name on it. We can actually who's what authorized use is allowed on those. We can map it and actually send it to our stores and other businesses that can hand out trail maps to show, hey, this is our network. And through all that information, while all that was going also, on, we were also evaluating the trail system. And as far as we knew from our research of any reports that have been done, we haven't seen trail evaluations actually included in a plan. But we went out there, we took our volunteers, and we had them assess all the single track in Carson City for sustainability. And what they used for those for that assessment was looking at large tread drainage side. I could go through all this, but basically what it is we're looking at to make sure the water stays off the trail. If the water's on the trail, then there's going to be problems. And so and that's what we looked at, and that's how we assessed whether a trail was sustainable or not. After getting the survey results, the workshop results, the trail evaluations, what we did is we created a data matrix with two components, engineering and desirability. And for our recommendations, it's the desirability that really drives this report. And what we used, this is the public's desirability. We use scenery, connectivity, and loop options. And those are things that are on the ground now. This isn't about future trails. But then we get to network expansion, and then that does come into play where we're thinking, do these areas actually lend themselves to expansion? And then we get to the engineering part of it, and that is engineering of ease of implementation of these. And what we used for that criteria was property ownership on the trail segments. Was it one land manager, or was it seven land managers, making it more difficult to have for ease of implementation? Was the topography, construction, or maintenance easy for that particular piece? And was the infrastructure in place already for parking, trailheads, and such? And after all that, oh, good. Oh, you got squished up. Oh, too bad. But either way, it looks much better in a different format than that. But that actually shows desirability on the left, as it engineering on the left, and then as they go across horizontal is the desirability. And this is just a framework. This is what we're using to guide us on our recommendations. So then we get to existing plans.
So part of the thing, an important element of any planning effort is to review existing documents. It's absolutely critical that you go back and find what had already been written. So there was a Carson River plan, there was a Carson City Master Plan, the Open Space Plan, Management Plan for Carson City, which was just done recently, and then the big one for us was the UPMP, the Unified Pathways Master Plan, and we really tore into that, and about half of that dealt with asking the community through volunteers, actually, to go out and do these things we just did, which really helped support what we were doing, which meant going out and inventorying the trails and sign plans and these other things that mentions through there, that actually we were working very hard to fill that niche. So that's what made me feel very comfortable we were moving forward with this as a master planning element, was because we were doing what the current master plan was asking for somebody to get done in this community and to bring it off the shelf. And I'm in no way pointing fingers at Parks and Rec. I know how plans get done and put on a shelf with priorities being done and changed every day in their career. What's their in-basket changes daily or hourly about what's most important on top, you know. So, and with you have a community trail group, just like the Tahoe Rim Trail was active, they know that those things are being handled by somebody out there, and that maybe there's other things they have to deal with on a daily basis rather than trails, because Jeff's out there doing all that work for you all the time. So we looked at those. We spent a lot of time bringing that into the document, and we spent a lot of time. I put together a document that was twice this size probably. I'm very fluid in my writing. Write everything and then let them cut and have no ego in that. So there was a lot of review, a lot of discussion to bring it down, because everybody knew we needed to have a smaller document. I think Brett was one of the best kind of supporters and say, we need to bring it down into a summary form too, which we did do and worked very hard on. But the huge thank you. I'm not the best writer for these types of documents sometimes. I write conversationally. So Lynn Zong, who sits behind me, spent a whole lot of time cleaning up my writing. So a really big thank you for her. And then plus there was a knowledge of what Parks and Rec in the city of an open space had in their shelves and how they're built and designed and read and written by certain groups. So Lynn knows that because she's done some for you guys. So we were very fortunate to have Lynn. So in the plan itself, there's a lot of other stuff we dealt with other than just the trail on the dirt. So you actually need to do other things like the trail design, meeting some of the new standards, use Forest Service standards, the 24-inch, the Class 3 standard for this, which are the 24-inch trails that are in the backcountry. There's Class 4 trails, which are roads. We dealt a little bit with that because there are roads that connect some of our trails. So you might have to take 100 foot of a road to get back on a trail sometimes. So those became part of it, but not the lead. Jeff reminds me is Class 3, 24-inch tread that can go to 36 in some exceptions. But we wrote how they would get training, that muscle-powered, how their structure works, so that you had crew leaders out there, you had experienced people working out there, and there's even a section on conflict. There's a FHWA, which is a Federal Highway Administration. They get involved with trails too, and so there was a group that gathered, how are we going to deal with this conflict, mountain bikes, equestrians, hikers, runners. So they came up with 12 solutions, which doesn't shut down any trail. It tells you to deal with these 12 items when you're building your trail and designing them to eliminate the conflict. if not eliminate it, at least reduce it and have different expectations. So there's design elements in there that help that. Plus, there's a trail that I, when I surveyed the trails up Ash Canyon, there's a trail that goes right down Ash Creek that's a wonderful trail on a mountain bike. But you wouldn't want to take grandma down there, and you wouldn't want to take your 12-year-old son down there. Well, you might. Depends upon your 12-year-old son.
Does grandma mountain bike ride?
Grandma doesn't ride mountain bike. So it's a technical trail, which the mountain bike community has been building these trails in these communities now. They're bootlegged because they want a place to go do these challenging rides. So this is what I would call a good example of that. But it's needed, and it's a really nice ride, except I almost wrecked on it. My pedal hit a rock, and I did one of those on the front wheel for about 10 feet, and a Hail Mary, and then I survived. But there's a system with IMBA, which is the Intermountain Bike Association, a national organization, now has this really cool system that we put in play for this to save those trails and allow this community to have them. Black diamond, double black diamonds, blues and greens. Very simple for people who ski that you can ride these trails and have them marked and have them still be out there, but protect the public. If Joel put a map out there that's just a family day and they're out there riding down this creek, they're going to have a thrill or a nice walk your bike down the creek type of a thing. So that was brought into it too. Trail training where you can get that. So there was a lot of other things that were brought into it. Then after we got that squared away, I'm moving now. So what we did is here's what the agencies and people want to look at first. What do you want? So it's the recommendation. So it's the meat of the document. So there's actually these, what we looked at was we want system trail adoption, which means their trails are out there, they meet a good standard, they're sustainable. We'll go to the Forest Service, we'll go to BLM, we'll go to Open Space. Please make them part of your system, which means you'll be willing to accept responsibility and maintenance under an MOU with Muscle Power. That's the big carrot, because this document says that we want this, but for this, Muscle Powered will do the maintenance on those trails for you, and that's huge. And most communities have trail groups that do that. Up the Sierra Front, there's probably a good 10 big trail organizations support their communities on maintenance and these types of projects. So yeah. The other thing was the trail realignment for those trails that were bootlegged or built by people that used to go these old straight game trails and stuff that go straight up the hill. Look at realignments for those, and there's first and second tier. So we felt this is more important than the second tier, so the first tier might be first thing you do in second. But in the recreation game, with any game actually in development, you look for opportunities. So opportunities can change any of this at any time, any day it can change. Opportunities can come that support these changes. Property acquisition, especially over in Ash Canyon, became of a high interest to the group because it's without that piece, there's a huge piece of trail missing over there with the Ham property. It's one of them that I mentioned. There's others, too, that are part of this. Or new trail. There weren't a lot of new trails proposed, actually. But there are some in there. And then there was trailhead improvements and signage. And you heard from the survey that people want that, better support at the trailheads. So that was our recommendations. This is Jeff's slide.
So we're getting close. We are getting so close. It's almost there. Our expectations for the outcome of this report is adoption of the EVTC trail recommendations into the UPMP to hold the trail easements on non-agency properties as applicable, such as whether it's private property or on state lands, for instance, and as we successfully did with the Ashta Kings Canyon Trail, continued grant support for trail development. And Mark, you already went into that. We'll develop MOUs, which we already have with the Carson City and the Forest Service, so the only holdout there is us partnering with the BLM. Work with trail staff, which I've had the wonderful opportunity to try and keep up with the new trail coordinator, Greg Bergen. He's moves quite quick, and I think we're going to be busy for a long time with him on board. And develop an action plan for what we're proposing. Mark, you want to touch on the private property stuff on that?
Private property, as Jen knows perfectly clear, this volunteer group can't be messing with it past this introduction letter for our plan. So now it really takes government support, agency support to move it to a further level, which would be any discussions about how they might cooperate with the city or the feds or whoever is the land manager with an easement or just allow use, which does not encumber their property, which is always nice to them. It doesn't encumber. They can change their mind tomorrow, but protects them from litigation. But you don't lie to the landowner and tell them you're not going to have to get a lawyer if somebody gets hurt out there. They're going to have to get a lawyer to show that the other party's got an NRS that protects the landowner. So that's where we would make these recommendations, but we could advocate. We can help. We can maybe go to the Nevada Land Trust or somebody who does these types of deals on the side and help support and advocate for these purchases and be at the open space meeting and say, we'd really hope that you guys can put the ham property up high on your list for us and things. So that's where we get involved. Right now, we just kind of more of an advocacy and a kind of a watchdog stewardship look versus the agencies have to move on that now. And actually, the state lands with Charlie is actually almost an action like private property. So it's way beyond our capacity, but there was a willingness to at least talk about that. So agency review is where we get done with this process with the city. You guys only have authority when I say you guys and gals, ladies. We know that there's all these other land managers out there that we're going to have to talk to, the Forest Service, BLM, the community college, and then state lands to some level. Actually, Charlie said he had some comments in the plan, so we'll be dealing with this. Is still a draft, and the agency still may have some ideas to put into this. And Arthur Callan from BLM actually had a few comments. So it's a separate, total different program now because we're moving out of Carson City and working with different land managers. But the plan they said we could do, we can go out and get these things for them. We did a project need, which is really important because we showed there was a need in this community for this support on trails. And then we also pre-scoped, which is really important in a process with federal government, that you pre-scope, which is you go out and get the public's ideas about what. It's not Jeff and I and this group's ideas about what we want trails. We can show the public through our survey it was they're supporting what we're doing, and we're advocates to help them move that along. So that's where we're going to move next, and slowly, and one agency at a time, and know that Carson City is going to be a huge player in there, and they're going to have to help us with some of the meetings and the fact that Carson City supports it, because agencies talk to agencies better than a nonprofit or not even a formal group as a nonprofit here to go in and speak with authority about what we would like to see on trails sometimes. But we did meet Jenny Wilson's goal, which is to put a nice plan out there for everybody. So we're on the last slide, and I hope I didn't take too much of your time. I really thank you. Nobody's head hit the table. So I must have kept you at least excited about trails, and you might know more about trails now than you ever thought you might know in a while. So thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Any questions or comments? Commissioner Curtis?
Yeah, I have a couple, three general questions. So, and you know, maybe some more specifics as we, if we're going to look at things. But one of the things is I didn't see too much discussion of trails being closed. Are you going to be trying on some of these bootleg trails to be closing them, or are you going to try to be owning them, so to speak?
So, to use your terminology, owning would be appropriate. There was only in our evaluation about three trails in Centennial Park that were very short segments that we thought should be actually abandoned. And the rest, there's certain, like Mark said, most of them were sustainable, but there are segments of that that weren't, that we would try to realign to make them sustainable.
Okay. And then because of all the snow and the water and the rain and what's going to happen, do you think that's going to change this plan very much in terms of where the trails are and if they're sustainable, et cetera?
Not very much. We actually, there are some areas that did sustain damage that are repaired right now, so we really don't see any, other than Centennial Park. Centennial Park is because it's BLM. We don't have any working relationship with them yet, and those trails aren't recognized by them yet that we haven't been able to get out there. And most of, there's about three lower trails that it was actually the trails acted as water bars from the roads above. So the trails weren't really bad. It was the road above, it carried so much volume that as soon as it hit the trail, it diverted and took it out. So we would look at those certain areas as we go along. But for on the whole, everything fared fairly well.
Okay. And then my third for now is, looking through, you have various charts for the various areas. Are we supposed to kind of be looking at these independently by each chart, or how do we go about, or especially open space, prioritizing this list? Is it a laundry list, or is it just for our knowledge, and that if we ever go there, by the way, there is a trail there we need to do something with?
Mark?
Jen, I'm going to speak to that, because what we did is we used the system to come up with some priorities, but we handed it to the agency, okay, this is how we would perceive it, but now the agency steps in at this point, Donna.
Thank you. Madam Chair, Jennifer Budge, Parks and Recreation Director. I think priorities need to be dynamic and reevaluated constantly. We may have a property owner that might come forward, and a trail that may have been three quarters down the list suddenly comes to the top because an opportunity presents itself. Mm-hmm. They did present the plan in what they felt was a priority order, and I think it's a great approach. But will you stick to that to the letter? Probably not. That's just not reality. So as opportunities come up, or as property owners maybe aren't willing, or we have a grant opportunity that presents itself, I think that's going to kind of ebb and flow always. So this will be a living plan, a dynamic plan that will sort of ever change, as priorities present itself.
Okay, so if I could just to clarify, so there's a section for Ash Canyon and a list of trails, and then there's a section for, say, Prison Hill. Are they two separate? They're two separate. So if we're looking at that area for some reason, then we want to look at that. But we don't want to compare Ash Canyon to Prison Hill and say one is more important than the other. Or we want to work on one more than the other.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
But in our bubble design, it wasn't really clear up there. We actually showed the areas that had the most score for either rehab or realignment or something. So there actually was some bubbles that moved, some that makes more sense to work on first. But those bubbles are bubbles for a reason, that they can move, that they're wide enough so they incorporate more than one than just each area. So, but there was some recommendations that some might be more important than others.
Alan?
Yeah, I was curious, on the school trust properties, I noticed in the report you said that they are now going to allow social trails. I was wondering what would happen to those trails if, in fact, that property got sold and developed.
We haven't worked out anything with state lands yet. That's a process that we're going through. What we hope is that as we move forward with this, and let's say we're working towards an agreement, and we would just ask that if a development comes in, that we work with them to move those trails, because as areas get developed, I believe in certain areas are allowed, they have to put open space in with the developments, and we're just hoping that they would work with us to keep those opportunities open for the public.
Let me add to that. Your first sentence was not clear to me, that the state lands would allow social trails. They're not going to allow social trails. So if we had that in there in some wording that's confusing, that I think we got to clarify that. What has happened is there was one example where state lands agreed to lease and pay an annual fee to state lands for the Virginia Truckee Railroad bed, which state land owns. So we actually had surveyed it. We had actually determined the width, and we were going to pay I was more active with Juan than Ricard City Open Space, and active with the contracted stuff. We would pay so much per square foot almost for those properties annually. So when Charlie worked with us, the vision is this, and he would have to speak to this more than myself, but he said, okay, here's one piece that we've agreed to. We've come up with some prices, but there's other pieces of state land now that we have interest in over Clear Creek that has been involved in the press a few times in some serious discussions. I think he wants to package them and do one thing rather than put piecemeal. But in the past, we weren't given that opportunity, so this is very exciting that at least we can look at easements rather than social trails, because they don't want social trails because they'll encumber the property with all these trails that they don't want. So we've had that discussion, and that there was no comfort for that. But an easement, there was room for discussion on those school. And those are pretty unique pieces of property because they're actually in the Constitution for the state that protects them. There's no laws you're going to go and change an NRS to change some of these things if it's in the Constitution. So they have very specific things they have to follow. But there's flexibility at least to talk now about how we might be able to work this out. But the V&T piece was worked out and ready to fly until we started the plan, and then he held it up until we look at the whole plan, which is pretty smart on the planner side. So.
Any more questions?
Jeremy Hall, Open Space. First, I'd like to thank everybody involved in this project. I think it's a pretty amazing thing. One of the reasons my wife and I moved to the west side was because of the trails up Ash Canyon. I'm on it on a weekly basis. I run into Jeff all the time. And I'd like to echo the sentiments that Mark expressed about Jeff. Carson City is extremely lucky to have an individual like Jeff being a champion for stuff like this in our community, and we're really lucky to have him. So I had a couple of comments on the report. I think it was really well written. I think it's a very good technical report, and it has a very good basis for a planning document. Just a couple of simple sort of overview comments was that I have some nitpicky stuff, and Mike Drew's back there could let you know that this was coming from the heart. I think that the maps in the document are a little bit too small. They're too low resolution and hard to read. I think the report needs a good copy edit to go through. There's some formatting issues, and I'm volunteering myself to help out with either of those issues. Maps and reports is something that I do. When it comes to the evaluation matrix, I feel that this is probably the most important component of the entire report, and I think you guys did a really good job with it. But there are certain parts of it that I'm confused about. And I think that it potentially, and Jennifer Budge actually might have clarified a little bit for me with what she had commented before, but the combination of the ranking with the tier system seems like it's maybe a little overcomplicated, because to me, when I'm looking at the graphs, the tables, the text, and the maps, I'm not really sure what has precedence over another. Jennifer helped clarify that with the statement of, well, we really are looking at these priority ranks in isolation by the area. So that helps me. But one thing that I think would help in the report is if you provided some language about what the ranks, what's driving the tier system. Because there's just a statement in there about there's tier one, tier two, and there it's about high priority, low priority. I think that there needs to be a discussion about like what's actually driving that. To me, it would be helpful if the system was actually quantified, and then you would still be able to lump high, low, medium to simplify the entire thing, but then you would actually have a hierarchy of when the question is posed, we've got volunteers and money and time, where do we put those resources? Boom, let's go to the top of the list and go there. And then to bolster that, we need a figure in there that has yellow, green, red for the trails. What's high, what's medium, what's low? Because that's something that I think is missing in the report. Those are my comments on the report. I think it was really well done, and I think you guys did a great job. I know that there was a tremendous amount of time that was put into it, so thank you very much.
I have feedback. Jeremy, wonderful review. Thank you. I mean, that was very comprehensive, really got into the detail of the report. We're really glad to see that. Thank you very much. And your comments are greatly appreciated. And actually, I had discussions with the tiers, with the group, and I was kind of an advocate. So maybe if I would have stayed out of there, we would have stayed out of that little mess. Thanks, Derby.
Any other questions, comments, concern? Mayor Bagwell?
So more in the line of questions and dealing potentially with the matrix and the priorities and stuff. And so I'm interested to go more specifically, if I can, into the Centennial Park. And I thought I heard a comment a little bit earlier is to which landowner are you having difficulty getting an MOU? Did you say that was BLM?
I shouldn't say difficulty yet. We just haven't
formalized an MOU.
The funny thing is they're waiting for us to finish this report before they would move forward with us trying to bring Bell Trail system into the fold.
And was that BLM? Did
yes.
I hear that correctly? And maybe that's potentially why some of the scoring turned out the way it did. Because I'm interested in learning on Centennial Park what your mountain bike trail system is or pathing. Are you indicating, if I read this report correctly, that it needs a lot of realignment? Because I guess we've done Epic Ride, and I'm looking to how do we potentially make a trail system that can expand on that and meet your mountain bike pathways goal. So can you speak to me a little bit about your Centennial Park ideas?
Sure. I don't see from the map that you see Centennial Park trails changing much, and other than the realignments are really within a 100-foot corridor, so it's not like we're going a mile out. And all it is to do with sustainability, because, one, the public uses that a lot, and they are quite fun. There's just small issues in certain areas. And it goes back to just making sure we redesign in that corridor that gets the water off the trail and still makes it fun and doesn't damage the resource. The potential we see for that area is more in connectivity of, and that's where some of our equestrian groups were more interested in Centennial Park, because they'd like to see a connection from their Centennial to Washoe State Park. And then also McClellan Peak ends up being pretty much a blank slate that you could actually, now you're not confined to user-created trails from the past. You can actually develop using the topography with a bigger picture in mind.
Any other questions or comments? All right. Anything? Commissioner Cruz?
Yeah, I'm kind of all over the place, so I'm sorry. But I'm looking on page 48, for example. I think that with the gentleman to my right was suggesting. So it's a map of the Ash Canyon area, and it talks about there's a yellow dash line that's trail on private land, no access. And I think I can see that. But it says trail on private land again, purple slashes going the other way. And I'm not quite sure what those are. And then it says officially recognized trail, and there's no delineation. So I guess I'm a little confused on how to read that. And maybe what would help with what was suggested is if we're a little larger. Otherwise, it looks like a good map.
And I agree. You knew that when we were putting this on a printed page, it was going to shrink and not be as clear. Though the referring to the trail that is on private property that's no access, that was the Ham property that got back to us through the sending him a letter saying, I don't want that to be shown to the public. So what we did, because it existed, then we shaded, because we needed for the public meetings to show everybody, it's like, listen, okay, they don't want you here. This is no access. But I agree, though, this does need to be a little more clarity on the printed page.
Well, what you like to try to do if you had bigger budgets was you'd put the folding 11 by 17s in the page so you can fold out a double page. So maybe if we get more money for a reprint, it's really easy to make the maps bigger. just a matter of how we design the document that we can afford to print.
You know, one suggestion to reduce the need for 11 by 17 too is potentially like a map book that could be an attachment. You could you could keep it at 11, 8.5 by 11 that way, and you just tile up your areas.
Jeremy, where were you about 2 years ago when we started this?
I completely kicked myself for not being more involved in this project.
Oh, you had a baby in the way. Yeah. Well, thanks, Jeremy. We look forward to your future attendance at our meetings.
Not that they're backing you up against the wall or anything.
It's all right.
All right. Any other questions or comments from any of the commissioners? Commissioner Lehman?
This is just awesome work. Great work. Thank you very much. Looking at one of the priorities on the west side was going from the Mountain Street trailhead on up to Longview. So I'm wondering if anybody on your side has contacted the Vintage developers where that property is.
No, we didn't. We may have put things in there that we might not specifically be involved with in the construction side or design side, because that would be from Vintage, I believe, Class 4 trails, and this primarily dealt with the single track. And I believe they had already, in their current plans, had already incorporated a trail system around the community, as far as I knew.
There is a trail system that will go through that as part of their conditions of approval.
So that's what I was supposed to say. Okay.
If I may, I think what we're looking for, having, you know, living in that area, is, you know, getting somehow or another some kind of a pathway or something along Kings Canyon Road, get those kids off the street, et cetera. And so we're looking for any way to make that happen. But nothing in here, I gather.
Oh, well, a base trail along, if you wanted to we've got the, do you know what the FEMA trail is? Everybody know? We call the FEMA trail is a trail behind the homes of Sea Hill Homes at the base of Sea Hill. And I believe the Potter property, which was purchased last year, wasn't the Potter property at Ormsby?
Yeah, well, I know what you're talking about. I don't remember when it was purchased.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. And then we have the Zorro Trail, which just comes up just off of Kings Canyon, and there's a multi-use path that goes around those homes there, which I don't know the name of that development. You could easily connect FEMA Trail behind those homes to connect to the FEMA Trail. Was that Long Ranch? Yes. And so, of course, the kids would have to go up Ormsby, climb a little bit, and then go across that. Just throwing out ideas, by the way.
Any other questions, comments? Okay.
So I just wanted to take a moment to thank you guys and everyone in the audience and anyone that's listening. This is what makes things happen in the community, is when you have volunteers that work so hard to give us plans. And so I just really want to go on record to thank you. I don't want it to be missed that and I was more than happy to give you more than 20 minutes. You guys spent years. And so, what an honor. Thank you.
All right, is there anybody in the public who'd like to comment on this? If so, now's the time to come on down.
Thank you, Vernon, and thank you both Parks and Rec and Open Space Commission. I for the record, I'm Mike Drews. I'm the Vice President of Friends of Silver Saddle Ranch. I'm going to go a little bit beyond what Jeremy said. I want to thank the Eagle Valley Trails Committee for all of their hard work, but I also want to thank Open Space, Parks and Rec, and the Parks and Rec Department for continually supporting this kind of work in Carson City. And Mark and I have worked on some master plans together. It's a lot of work, and we really appreciate it. Hiking trails are a pretty significant part of the recreational use at Silver Saddle Ranch. This draft plan goes a real long way in framing the future planning needs of those ranch of trails at the ranch and throughout Carson City, and we just want to let you know that the Friends strongly support this document, and we strongly support approval of the draft assessment or amendments to the draft assessment for this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public? Come on down, Joel.
Thank you. For the record, Joel Dunn, Executive Director of the Carson City Visitors Bureau. I think as many of you know, I've had several hats as I've spent my career serving this community. And one of the longest stints was with Parks and Recreation. And I know that the efforts that Parks and Recreation has put into the development and acquisition of open space and the trails and Parks and Recreation. And my new hat in this community is a little different, and I don't take it lightly on both sides. One, I'm responsible for keeping the economic engine of tourism going in our community and continuing to build on that. It's the number one employer and the number one tax generator in our state. And once again, we don't take that lightly. But also as a lifelong Carson City resident, I know that when I'm showcasing to the rest of the world what we have, I'm introducing them to what we've protected in Carson City for so many years. And we want to minimize the impact to the trail systems. We want to minimize the impact to our parks and recreation facilities. But it's also essential for our business community that we continue that economic engine. We're bringing in a lot of additional revenue, a lot of new visitors. In the last 4 years, we've rebranded our community to showcase what I knew is the reason I lived here my entire life, and that is the quality of life. That quality of life is one of the reasons why people were continuing to travel and spend in the downturn of the economy. When I took over the Bureau, we were falling very short in comparison to the rest of the region. In the last 4 years, through just a series of one successful event, introducing ourselves to the rest of the world with what trails we have quickly become known as a premier destination for all trail-related outdoor recreation. This last weekend, I had an opportunity to represent Carson City Epic Rides and honestly, the entire mountain biking industry at the Sea Otter Classic down in Monterey. The Sea Otter Classic has tens of thousands of people that come through their gates. It's a celebration of all bike-related industry from road bikes, mountain bikes, BMX. And I can tell you that one of my concerns going in was, first of all, do people know about Carson City? I know that we were named the number one mountain bike event in the nation last year with Epic Rides. We were able to get the right industry here to make that happen, but it showcased all of the work of the people in this room. We worked with Muscle Powered from day one. We worked with State Parks, Forest Service, and we're going to continue to work with those groups because it's not going to stop. We are a destination for outdoor enthusiasts now. I was met with thousands of people coming to our booth. They weren't asking me what we had. They were asking when and how they could get here. I was met with the mountain bike magazines, every journalist in the field, the entire industry asking, how did you guys do it? How did you become such a world-class destination for mountain bikers in such a short time? And we're going to be featured in a lot of mountain bike magazines over the course of the next several months. A couple of the projects I'm working on, and I hope I'm causing a sense of urgency on your behalf. I'm working on a single-track adventure that's going to take people traveling to Carson City on our Eastern Gateway through Ely, Austin, Eureka. I met with Caliente. IMBA's doing a $2 million trail project in Caliente. We have a lot of people that come to Carson City along that path. And I've worked, actually this last week, and I traveled the path, was in Caliente a month ago, and I'm working with all of their trail organizations to create a single-track adventure as people travel across Nevada to get to Carson City. When I was at the Sea Otter, one of the things that people did ask, I need your trail map. Can I get your trail map? I'm really excited. Can't wait to come. I think in one of the first slides you saw that if I was to hand out a trail map, this last was 2 weeks ago in Monterey, I would have had a trail map that would have had just a couple of trails, because I'm not going to put a trail map that's going to put people on private property or trails that are not legitimized. I hope I can urge you to have the same sense of urgency. The whole build it when they come, they'll come. We've built it. They're coming. and now we need to make sure they can ride them, they can walk them, they can hike them. I'm starting to work now with the trail running organizations. There's no doubt we're going to create that same sense of pride and destination in our community, and people are going to want to come and experience it. So, thank you.
Thank you, Joel. Anybody else wish to comment?
Hi, I'm Mark Gann. I'm a vice president at Western Nevada College, and I'm just here to express our support for what the committee is doing and just delighted that the college has been included as a part of it. So thank you guys, and thank you.
Thank you so much. Anybody else?
Good afternoon. It's been a long day of a lot of biking today, huh? I recognize a bunch of people. My name's Kelly Clark. I'm the president of Muscle Powered. And I just want you to know we're in it for the long term. So bring it on. We'll be there. We'll do the work. And we really are proud of this effort. Many of our members of the Muscle Powered Board have put in so many hours. I mean, as Mark said, don't start counting the hours because then they're going to realize they spent more time volunteering than they did going on vacation for the last 3 years. So we at Muscle Powered, we're training new crews. We're trying to get younger people involved. And I think you've got a future here. And we're very interested in working to build a better relationship and for our MOU to include implementation, not just a little bit of discussion, but we want to be at the table all the way along. We want to be there talking about what the best approaches are, and we want this trail plan to have standing so we can apply for more money and so we can get more done. We can keep this guy busy. Thank you very much.
Come on down, CK.
CK Bailey, once again, Carson City. You whetted my appetite, so I had to kind of jump in on this. And there's more of a question than maybe an opinion. Hobart Reservoir was brought up, and it is part of the trail system. It's certainly a destination that going to Hobart, going to Marlette Lake, going to Lake Tahoe ultimately, coming from east to west. The road. The road going up to Hobart, I believe, has been breached pretty heavily, if I'm not mistaken. The one going up Ash Canyon, it is closed, and with no ETA when that's going to open or what's going to happen to that. And I don't know if this is the venue for this, because it may be a state function, it may be a state of Nevada, it may be part Carson, because the water supply and the road going to it. I just wanted to make mention that we're watching that. It's a very important fishery, and I'm very interested. There's a lot of people that are very interested in it, and some people may even like to hike there. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there, that Hobart is also in our hearts and minds. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Commissioner Curtis?
Yeah, I'm just kind of thinking here, because I've probably been here about the longest, except for some of the staff and maybe Mark. But I can remember when I first got on the commission begging Steve Kastens for $7,000 in the capital plan for a trail or trails. And he said, well, I'll try to find the money for you. But he never really did. And that was the time when Muscle Powered had won getting the pathway along the northern part of the freeway, But we also had a letter from the mayor to NDOT saying, we'll never, never ask for any more pathway. And yet we now have a pathway that's going to go all the way along. And here we are. Look at us. And I'm just really proud of all of you. Thank you so much for all that you've done. And it's just really, we're on the map. Thank you.
Commissioner Cacioppo.
I wanted to piggyback a little bit on what Joel Dunn had mentioned, you know, bringing tourism to the area and the various you know, items we have here. I think it's important to note, even though they don't attend these things, the youth we have in our community and who's coming here. I mean, we listened earlier with Parker and his Eagle Scout project. You know, he's an avid runner. Commissioner Lehman, with his affiliation with the high school track, and the amount of kids that between him and some of us volunteers bring on these trails, you know, the importance to the youth and the future, Jeff Potters and the different people in this room, but exposing these kids to these trails and whatnot and having trails that they can run on from, you know, from dirt roads to single track trails and whatnot, how important it is. About a month ago, I was at Chico State University. We were doing a teacher recruiting fair. And, you know, these people graduating from the credential program and the teaching program are looking at where they're going to start their careers and where they're going to relocate. And a lot of them jokingly said, well, we don't go anywhere based on the money, which unfortunately is the truth. But what we do is we look at communities that have the quality of life that we're looking for. And they were asking for information about Carson City. And I had the opportunity to go into the Visitors Bureau and get some information about our area and hand it out to people. And one of the things they said is, you know, we really enjoy the open space that they are afforded in Chico. And they like the idea of Northern Nevada because, you know, we have some of the same amenities and much, much more. So this is not just something for our present local community. This is what's going to bring new people to the community, bring the youth up that are going to maintain these things long after we're gone. And so I think this has so many important attributes beyond really what we were talking about here. But, I mean, it's just something that goes long into the future. So I just want to thank the both of you and everybody involved in this because it's, you know, this is vital to the future of our community. So thank you.
All right. No other comments from either the commission or the public? I'd entertain a motion on this item.
Okay, I'll do it.
Excuse me. Jennifer?
Thank you. Sorry, Madam Chair. Jennifer Budge, Parks and Recreation Director. I wanted to bring Vern up just really briefly so he could talk about our next steps and how we might move this forward. Just to clarify for the group, we've met with, you know, the key players with Eagle Valley Trails Committee. We've also met with community development, and we wanted to come up with a fair and understandable way to move forward without – this is a very large document to digest, and – you know, it can be confusing for different users. We wanted to take the portions of it that were really the meat of the plan and bring that to a potential, upon your consideration, amendment maybe to the UPMP. So I'd like Vern to kind of talk about, just really briefly, our conversation with community development and how we might move this forward in kind of a more tangible way and not, you know, such a large, daunting document, but still having this as kind of, you know, that Bible and dynamic situation moving forward so it doesn't sit on the shelf, as Mark would say.
One of the things that we've talked about with the committee is that for the record, Vern Cronin, the senior park planner for the Carson City Parks and Recreation Department. One of the things that we have had conversations with the Eagle Valley Trails Committee about is how can we get this document to have teeth? And one of the things that, from a larger planning perspective, that we have used over the years is both the Unified Pathways Plan, the Parks and Recreation Master Plan, and that document is more of a policy-level document versus more of an implementation plan, getting into kind of the details. So what we've been talking about with Hope Sullivan is that we would like to be able to take this document, work with the Eagle Valley Trail Committee and glean through it to pull policy level issues out of it and to be able to create that and put it into a chapter within the UPMP. Some of you were here when we adopted the aquatic trail plan for the river. We had gone through the process of in 2006 of adopting the City Master Plan, the Parks and Recreation Plan, and at that time, the UPMP. Within a year, there was a lot of energy around the river and trying to create that as a recreational tourism base. And so we went through the process to amend the UPMP. We ended up with a chapter in it along with a map. We see a similar process moving forward with this document. We want to work with these folks to pull the essence of those policy statements out of it. That policy statement will then give the opportunity at the Board of Supervisors level or at the Planning Commission level to provide guidance to the decision makers, you know, related to as plans come forward or as other types of development happens in the community or as we move forward with other planning documents with other agencies for the areas around the town. So what it does is it gives the opportunity to stay at about a 20,000-foot level, gives us the ability to work with it for a policy perspective to give it the teeth that they need. This policy document would reference the Eagle Valley Trails Committee plan, so there would be an opportunity to not have this go away, but use it as a part of the UPMP. So in other words, it gives it the opportunity to have the strength that it needs to move forward with grant applications and other things, along giving the city staff to be able to do that. So what we're proposing is to work with these folks, probably come back in the fall with some sort of a document that we can give to the committee and talk with them a little bit about this amendment. Does that help, Jen?
Yes.
Did I get there? Okay.
So can I give a Reader's Digest of what I envision? what I think we would probably see moving forward is perhaps the amendment of the UPMP to have a couple introductory paragraphs. We acknowledge the efforts of this group, the grassroots efforts, everything that they've gone through, the public meetings, all of that, some policy statements that are sort of guiding and with language that's consistent with the language in the UPMP, and then a large map, and then also acknowledging they divided this plan up in a really thoughtful way, and there's four geographic regions, and having those four maps in there as well, but maps and that use colors and keys that are consistent with the UPMP. So I think, you know, noting Member Hall's comments about the mapping, we recognize that. We've talked to them about that as well and kind of moving forward with to have some crisper, cleaner maps but that are consistent with the current plan. So we'd like to work with them and let them kind of take the first blush at that. Then we'll chime in with them maybe in the fall if that's acceptable to the two boards. And so it's not a large amendment. I think it's a little easier to digest, and then as we're bringing that forward potentially to you guys in the fall and then, you know, the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors, it would be a little easier to digest.
So in terms of us moving forward, do you need a recommendation or do you need us to recommend that you go back and look at the UPMP with respect to what, you know, incorporating what's in this? Is that what you need from us?
I think the recommended motion that you have in your packet should suffice, everything we've discussed. I think it's consistent with how the conversation has gone, if that's acceptable to you and the board members.
So we're going to do this motion in two parts. Part one would be the Carson City Parks and Recreation Commission. Part two would be the Open Space Advisory Committee. We each have to vote on the motion independently. So would Open Space like to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Do I have a motion?
I move to direct staff to work with the Eagle Valley Trails Committee to prepare draft documents for future consideration with the intent to amend the Unified Pathways Master Plan to expand the city's trail system based on the Eagle Valley Trail Committee's Community Trail Inventory Review Evaluation and User Needs Assessment Report.
Seconded.
Comments? Do we have any discussion? Any discussion from the public? All in favor?
Aye.
Yeah?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
All right. On the park and recreation side, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to direct staff to work with the Eagle Valley Trails Committee to prepare draft documents for future consideration with the intent to amend the Unified Pathways Master Plan to expand the city's trail system based on the Eagle Valley Trail Committee's Community Trail Inventory Review, Evaluation, and User Needs Assessment Report.
A second.
Okay, we have 2 seconds. Okay. Any questions or comments?
So what I'd like to understand then is that you'll be working with them to pull out pertinent sections of it that would fit within the plan. But one of the discussion items that I'd like is to understand how you use the Unified Master Plan to actually reference a document that has not been approved. So I just need a slight more linkage as to how does the Unified Master Plan actually get the trail committee's work adopted or utilized in that plan if it isn't an approved document.
I think that's a great question. Jennifer Budge, Parks and Recreation Director. We had that conversation with community development because the other concern is too, you have to worry, you don't want to get wrapped around the order in which this happens because then it'll never happen. So if we waited for BLM and the Forest Service and everybody to adopt this plan and then, you know, you get the changing of the guard and we kind of get wrapped around the axle. So that's why we want to pick out global policy statements so they serve as the umbrella for that. But I think where the references lie will be with trail design and construction standards and things that are, you know, if we use IMBA standards or if we use Forest Service standards, or those are things that are in this plan that you pull out. Does that help?
I just wanted it on the record, and for everyone, it's imperative that I don't think that they leave with the assumption that their entire plan is going to be adopted or referenced and approved via the Unified Master Plan, that only the components that reflect what Carson City can implement or impact within the great work that you've done. And so I just think that I don't want anyone being left with an impression that this plan itself is being adopted. And I just wanted to be clear on the record.
I appreciate that, and we've had conversations about that, and they know, I mean, me in particular, we're very supportive of this plan and want it to move forward, and we want it to be successful. And that's where the maps and, like, kind of those global things really are the most important parts, especially moving forward if there's ever a development we've referred to earlier. If it's in the UPMP, this is the teeth that it needs where we have these partners to either dedicate easements or provide trail construction or work with our partners. We have agreements with Muscle Powered, who's fantastic, and they do our trail construction and maintenance, and that's what's going to make this happen. But if we don't have it in a plan, we're not going to get grants. We're not going to, you know, so we need some of this stuff to move forward, but can we have 90 other pages to go with the UPMP? That's just hard. It's just not practical. So I would say, you know, the most important parts of this plan will move forward as part of the UPMP, and we'll do that with the Eagle Valley Trails Committee.
And then I, after thinking this through and listening to this comment, I don't know if you'd like additional recommendations to indicate that staff should work with this committee to work with any of the other land users. And so put land managers, I think what you call them, throughout your plan. So I think we should also indicate that the city and staff, and that we're all, as the teams here, supporting the work with the other land managers to help get this plan adopted by the other managers. So I just like to comment that we're really supportive of your work across the system.
Any other discussion? Commissioner Long?
I just wanted to point out one thing also, that I think we realize that not all 100-plus pages are going to be adopted, but the substance and the important aspects of it will be adopted, and that in the summary, it's going to under, you know, there's going to be a good explanation identifying that it was a grassroots effort that essentially built this all together, and that ultimately the full 100 and however many page report it is still available that anybody can review at any time to compare or understand like what the vision was from the EVTC and what the master plan ultimately embraces.
Any other discussion? Public comment? Let's vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much, and members of the audience for your hard work and for your presentation. Went over the 20 minutes, but it was well worth it. Enjoyed it. 22. 22, 23, we're fine. Oh, thank you. You did a wonderful job.
We could do a lot worse with a lot less.
Okay, let's move on to agenda item number 4, staff updates. This is discussion only. Jennifer, Byrne, Lindsay, you guys got anything for us? Okay. Well, then let's move on to item number 5, members announcements and requests for information. Does the Open Space Advisory members have any requests for information or announcements? All right, let's move on to Parks and Rec. Any requests for information, announcements? Well, actually, I have a couple. Jennifer has sent an email out to all the Parks and Rec commissioners about serving on the Anti-Smoking Coalition with Washoe County, Reno, Sparks, and Mamie Douglas.
It's not a formal coalition. It's a very informal group. Members of the Reno, Sparks, Washoe County, perhaps Douglas, I'm not sure, park commissioners are just providing one representative to have a discussion basically about some regional issues. The first topic is just about perhaps having non-smoking parks and kind of that movement, and just a brief discussion to see in the region kind of what the temperature is with that. So it's a very informal group, but they would like, you know, to include someone from Carson City.
So we're looking for somebody. Is anybody interested in serving?
They don't have a time schedule, but knowing that most of the representatives are kind of from the Reno area, it may be including driving over there once or twice, very minimal time commitment. But I don't know if they're going to meet in the evenings or during the day. They'll work with a group to try to find a time that works for everyone.
Bear in mind, if nobody steps up to the plate, I'm volunteered.
That works.
Okay. All righty then.
That works.
All right, I'll take the first couple meetings. And then also, I just wanted to remind everybody that over the Mother's Day weekend, Silver Saddle will be having its annual open house, and I'm urging everybody here and out in our viewing audience to attend. It's a good time, enjoyable, nice trails to walk. If they've not been washed out, I'm not sure. So just remind me. And then we're going to move on to public comments. Anybody in the public have any comments to make on anything? All right, hearing none. I'm going to, yes, Commissioner Curtis.
Just a reminder, the Foundation for Parks and Recreation is still looking for applications for people that you may want to nominate as Volunteer of the Year, or Volunteer of the Years, or Business of the Year, Organization of the Year, and if you have any questions, I'm sure the Parks Department can help you find the application if you need to. But we're going to be having that ceremony in July, and so we need to get the applications in. Thank you.
Is there a deadline?
Yes, there is.
Didn't mean to put you on the spot.
There's always a deadline, but I'm sorry. I think it's June something, but do it right away.
Okay. All right. And with that, there's no further business. I'll entertain a motion for adjournment. Anybody from Open Space like to make the motion?
So moved.
All right. I'll entertain a second.
Second.
All right. Any objections? All in favor? We're adjourned.